Yo, I'm back. The Foul Hooked Whitey. The Rise and Fall of East Rosebud High School. Episode 3. On the last episode, I talked about the Becks and how they put me in that upward trajectory, how they helped me. And I talked about the vendors that 17 years later, 15 years later, after I got them, they're still my vendors. And they're still what I sell. And the lesson in that is, when somebody walks into my shop, they're not going to get a sales pitch based on how much margin there is in a pair of waders. They're not going to get a margin, or excuse me, they're not going to get a sales pitch based on how expensive a fly rod is. They're going to get my true feeling and my true backing of those vendors. Sims, Sage, I'll have you till I'm done. So in episode 3, I need to talk about the most integral part of East Rosebud Fly Shop. And no, it's not me. It's my staff. And over the 15 plus years I've been in business, you know, I don't even think I really put any effort into employees until, fuck, I was like in year, like year 5 or 6, because I was such a hog with money. I needed it so bad because, you know, my spirit animal, and I'm fucking serious, my spirit animal is a beaver. And, you know, as soon as I say beaver, that no listenership out there is going to think I'm talking about pussy. And I'm not. It's not that parody. It's really what I am. You're something. You may not know it, but you've got a spirit animal, and I'm a beaver. The reason I'm a beaver is because my instinct is to build. Build, build, build. That's all I fucking do. I build past the point of profitability. I build past the point of having sense. But a beaver can't stop building no matter what. You know what happens when a beaver is done? A beaver is only done when it gets shot or trapped and drowned. That's it. And that's what I'm waiting for, is somebody to shoot me or somebody to drown me. My point in this is that I use those brands to fuel my build, and I use my staff to help me do it. And I'm going to bring out a couple of individuals, because in my shop's history, these are the individuals that really moved me. And I don't mean move me personally. I mean move me business-wise. They were good. And staff are tricky. I mean, they're really fucking tricky. Number one, you know, in 2025, there isn't any of this $15 an hour bullshit. You can forget that. If you want somebody who's good and somebody that's going to stick with you, you better pay them a living wage. Otherwise, that ain't happening. So I've literally had staff that take more money out of this business than me. And, you know, that's not right. But the continuity, the talent, the camaraderie, the friendship, that's what ends up happening when you treat staff right. And my first staff that I want to bring up is a gentleman by the name of Nolan Robinson, Noliano. Nolan hasn't been with me for a couple of years now, maybe a little less. And he was the first person that I invested in as far as hours and money. And boy, did I make a good fucking job of that. Good choice. You know, Nolan had his moments, usually funny moments. But when I was being impacted by customers or situations in the store, Nolan would look at me and say, fuck them. And I mean, that snapped me out of it. You know, he, you know, it's not like I'm ever down really, but he snapped me out of it. Because, you know, I love my clientele. I love my customer base. And when I say I love them, I'm not joking. But there's some, and it's not very many, that try to beat you down. You know, I'll never forget the first 30, 60 days I was open. And this customer I'd seen maybe once before, you know, I'm brand new, walks in, looks at me, and says, huh, you're still here. You know? I mean, I wanted to bitch slap that guy so bad, but, you know, I mean, you know, that's what he thought. Because he knows that it's tough to do this. You get to a point, especially if you're East Rosebud, where you can't fucking do it with one person anymore. I mean, that's just not going to happen. And Nolan, you helped me build my shop at the most opportune time to build it, when we secured the marketplace to ourselves, and when we really started to make strides as far as volume. When I started to host trips and I was gone for 10 days, when Nolan was in charge, I didn't even think about it. I knew my business was taken care of, and I knew Nolan was going to get it done. Nolan ended up being one of my best friends. I could tell him anything. And when I say I can tell him anything, you know, there's not a lot of people I can tell what I told Nolan. I'll tell you that. So I love the kid. My favorite Nolan story is, of course, you know, the marijuana cookie at the store. Had a good friend bring in one. Couple, actually. Warned us. Said, yo, don't eat it all. Not at once. And, you know, me and Nolan, I mean, Jesus, we could handle it. We thought. And that was one of the most memorable days of my life in the shop, because he and I, for 10 hours, 12 hours, man, we were out of it. And it was fun as fuck. And that was just the kind of relationship. I mean, how many bosses who are legit bosses, meaning, you know, don't fuck around on me, I'll jump you, are going to be the same guy that wants to give you a marijuana cookie and purposely space you out at work? So, you know, Nolan and I were particularly tight. And to this day, even 2 years removed from my business, if Nolan came up to me and he said, I need something, I would do anything for him. That's where the friendship and the respect will always be. Secondly, Cootie. You know, Cootie's a man now. I knew Cootie when he was a boy. And, you know, it was kind of like when, you know, Qui-Gon Jinn in Star Wars saw the fucking young Anakin, right? Didn't know he was a baby Vader, but knew he had it. And from the time I met this young man, Cameron Cross, that's Cootie's name, and people know him as Cameron Cross. I'm one of the few, me and Nolan, that still use the Cootie word. But Cameron Cross is the most exceptional, knowledgeable fisherman, sportsman, hunter that I have ever known. When anybody brings up a body of water in this state of Montana, and there's a lot of fucking bodies of water, if I reference Cameron, if he's working, he's got an answer. I mean, you know, he's an exceptional angler. And the greatest thing about Cameron is he checks his ego at the door. I mean, the young man is a genius when it comes to this sport, and I'm not fucking around. I mean, he really is. I remember 10 years ago when a bunch of people were getting all their rocks off on, you know, these tiger musky plants in the state of Montana. These crazy looking fucking pike, right? Hard to catch. Fish of a 10,000 cast or something goofy like that, right? And I saw these grown men in here. It was almost like a clique of these big mouth, boisterous, fucking never go fishing. All I want to do is catch a tiger muskie, right? They're hard. They're, you know, like they're permit, but they're longer. And, you know, here's Cameron driving 5 hours this way or 6 hours this way and presenting us pictures like, holy fuck. And he caught him wade fishing. If I had a professional fly fishing team, and I know how dumb that sounds, but if I did, and I had the first pick in the draft, I wouldn't pick Blaine Chocolate, and I wouldn't pick Charlie Craven, and I wouldn't even pick Master Gallup over Cameron Cross. He's just that good. And something else really quick. This young man, is absolutely unequivocally the best fly tire I could ever hope to have in my shop. He's exemplary, par excellence. So Cameron's still working with me, thank God. And, you know, what I've seen now because of him, his knowledge and his skill, is they're coming in to see him. They're not coming in to see me, not as much. And it's not because I'm not here as much. It's because he's that good. And they know they're going to get the real scoop from Cameron. They know he knows everything about tying, and he knows everything about habitat, and he knows everything about fish behavior. When I say the young man's a genius, there's not any bullshit in that. So Cameron Cross, I love you, baby. You know, East Rosebud, to be straight, wouldn't even be East Rosebud without you. And I mean that. You've helped me solidify the last 5 years. As some staff have come and gone, Cootie is right there. And I know he would never leave me high and dry. We're that tight. Number three. And really relatively new, just in the sense that this young woman has been working for me about 3 or 4 or 5 years, something like that. She's actually the producer of this podcast. Her name's Lydia. And the thing about Lydia is there's nothing she can't do. I mean, there's nothing she can't do. She's a fitness trainer when she's not here. She's a mom when she's not here. She's a wife when she's not here. But I don't think I've ever come across anybody that had the type of game that Lydia's got. And I mean that on the sales floor selling. I mean that in, you know, packing up online sales. I mean rigging up this shit. I couldn't set any of this up. But I've got Lydia. So I don't have to. She's also an incredibly dedicated employee. You know, I'm out on the sales floor 20, 25 feet away. You know, every 8 minutes, Lydia? Lydia, I'm constantly pestering her with tasks. And Jesus, does that not get fucking annoying? I get annoying enough as it is, let alone me throwing tasks at somebody that's already got a day's worth in front of her. If Lydia wasn't here, if Lydia didn't take care of business for me, for the shop, it would be just as impactful is Cameron leaving me. So, Lydia, you make it happen. You're my MVP. You're East Rosebud superstar. A lot of people don't necessarily know who you are. That's because you're back here keeping it fucking together for me. God knows I can't do that. I can't even keep a fucking counter clean. So without you, it just gets worse. So thank you. Finally, and I got lucky with this. I got lucky because A, we can cope with each other, which isn't easy with the dynamic we are, and who I'm going to talk about has got immeasurable talent. My oldest daughter, Alexandria, came to work for me after I lost a good staff, who ended up going to a commercial fly tying company, whatever. And my daughter steps in because she gets laid off at the bank. You know, the banks are slashing the mortgage departments, whatever. And she starts working for me. And, you know, my oldest daughter, Alex, she won't take any shit. I mean, she won't even take my shit. And I'm in charge. And trust me, I'm in charge. But she has a way of making me rethink my erratic behavior, impulsivity, terrible relationship habits, the whole fucking thing. You know, I text my daughter last night just on a whim after working with her on a Friday. And I said to her straight up, thanks for being my best friend. Because, you know, I'm not going to get into it because, you know, I don't want to expose myself anymore like I did talking about the river goddess. But, you know, I've gone through some shit in the last year. It's okay. You know, I brought it on myself. So it's okay. But during that whole time, and the ups and downs, and me not really being myself at times, my kid was there. And I needed it because, you know, I suffered a divorce a year ago and it fractured my family. So to have my oldest daughter right there by my side in this fucking high school, I mean, wow. I mean, it's just like having your right-hand man right there. And that's what my oldest daughter, Alex, is to me. She's my right-hand man. And she helps me so much. And I want to clarify something real quick here. The reason that this episode is called The Rise and Fall of East Rosebud High School is because this shop is a fucking high school. I mean, it really is. It's juvenile. It's impulsive. It's fun. We talk shit to each other. We get business done. And we're a top-tier fly shop. You know, that's like having the best football team in the fucking state. And that's what we are. And I do that because of people like Nolan, people like Cootie, and I'm never going to quit saying Cootie, people like Lydia, and professionals like Alexandria. Because without them, I wouldn't be able to be what I am, which is just a face of the business. I'm not that great at anything else in here. I'm a great talker with people, and I do a good job getting to know people and really appreciating their business, and that's what I need to do. But without people like the four I just mentioned, this place wouldn't be what it is. They know how sincere I am, and they know my gratitude is legit. So I say thank you to everybody that's worked for me, unless, of course, you fucked me over and I didn't like you, which wasn't very many. That's it. Episode 3. The Rise and Fall of East Rosebud High School. Foul Hook Whitey, out.